Yes, well, that is the psalm music. That means it is time to explore and break open the Word of God as expressed in the Book of Sung Praises, the Sefer Telachim, or otherwise known as the Psalms, the songbook of the Israelites. And today, because we're talking about Eucharistic adoration, we're gonna take a look at Psalm 63. This psalm is one that I always start my adoration time with. As soon as I get in, because sometimes your mind is wandering. You got so many things in your head, and some people, I can't get focused. Like, how do I kind of focus in on what I need to do there before the Lord in adoration? And so this psalm kind of centers me and focuses me. So Psalm 63, that means it's in book two of the Psalms, Psalms 42 to 72. And Psalm 63 is written by David. David wrote Psalms 51 to 72 in book two. And what's also interesting about this particular psalm is that the last three verses are not included in the breviary or the liturgy of the hours. So if you have either the one volume or the four volume set, it only goes up to verse 9. Verse 10, 11, and 12 are missing because they're imprecatory. They're kind of like quote-unquote cursing part of the psalm. And there's this is one of the psalms where not the entire psalm is omitted, like 58, 83, and 109, but part of the psalm is omitted. But we're going to dive into that today. We're just read the whole thing and make up your mind whether you think it should have been left in. I agree with St. Augustine, who said that we should keep pray the entire psalm without omitting anything. So the prescript is verse 1, a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. So this, again, is in 1 Samuel, where David is escaping persecution from Saul, who's trying to hunt him down and kill him. So David's trying to stay one step ahead of Saul. And here's how the first four verses of the psalm really, really, I just love praying this. And this psalm is also prayed during Sunday morning prayer or lauds of week one. And when there's feasts or solemnities, this is one of the psalms that's always prayed when there's a feast or a solemnity. So this psalm is important. So it starts, "O God, you are my God. At dawn, I seek you." Right? So the early rising in the morning, this is something that has been carried forward today in the monastic tradition. You know, the monks usually arise early, and nuns, of course, cloistered nuns and monks, arise early to pray the liturgy of the hours. And lauds is, you know, when the sun is rising, you know, the Son of God rose from the dead. As the sun is rising, they're breaking open their voices in praise. So at dawn, I seek you. I love this. "For you, my soul is thirsting. For you, my flesh is pining." Yes! That, to me, gets to the heart of the power of fasting. You know, because when you're fasting from food, you're fasting from something you enjoy, that hunger, that longing, that desire that you feel is really a physical sign of what we really are thirsting and hungering and desiring, a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, right? So fasting is a physical reminder that what we're ultimately preparing ourselves for is complete union with God. And I love this. "You, my soul is thirsty, my flesh is pining, like a dry, weary land without water," right? That water, you see pictures of the arid ground with all the cracks in it, which is just opening itself to receive the life-giving rain that it's longing for. And we receive, you know, we long to receive the life-giving power of God's Spirit in our lives as well. And we do receive that in the sacraments. And every Sunday we receive it, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the Eucharist. And now here's, I love this, verse 3. "I have come before you in the sanctuary to behold your strength and your glory." So as you, right, so that's why I start with this psalm. It helps me focus, helps me center, and then that line 3 comes in. There we are in adoration, kneeling before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. I have come before you in the sanctuary to behold your strength and your glory. I've come to be with you, Lord. I've come to spend time with you. I've come to behold your manifesting your greatness and your beauty to us in this most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. And then verse 4 gets me every time. Your loving mercy is better than life. What? What? Your the current version in the breviary says your love is better than life, but here it's rendered the Hebrew hesed, which is actually the parallel to agape in the Greek. Your loving mercy or merciful love is better than life. Holy cow, man. I mean, I could spend the rest of adoration just focusing on that one line. I think about the martyrs, right, whose love for the Lord was even better than their own life. They gave their life because they out of love for the Lord.
Well, and I love, too, because, you know, we, you know, pray the Lord's Prayer, you know, numerous times a day. The line of, you know, give us this day our daily bread. To me, I always saw that line as also asking for God to make us hungry for him, not just meaning it in a literal eating sense, but also in that starvation spiritually so that we are only after what he's after.
Yeah, and here's something interesting, too. If you look in the Greek, in the two versions of the Our Father, in Matthew and Luke's Gospel, the word there in Greek is actually... Now, if you said daily, you would expect to see hemera, which is the Greek word for daily. But instead, you see epiousios, which actually means like super substantial, supernatural. So the word daily there is actually not there in the Greek. And again, interesting. We talk about that another time. Mm-hmm. Let's dive back into the psalm. My lips will speak your praise. Why? It's a conversation. We're having a conversation with the Lord, heart to heart, right? Heart to heart, talk with our Lord, the intimate encounter with him, my life and his life there before in the Blessed Sacrament, exchanging our hearts. I love that. I will bless you all my life. Hold on. I will bless you all my life. How do we bless the Lord? How do we bless? We bless the Lord by being the person who God created us to be. That's how we bless the Lord, by being the person who God created us to be, to use our talents and our gifts to honor and glorify the Lord. That's how we bless the Lord. Now, we, of course, we receive blessings from the Lord, but we can also bless him. We honor him by the witness of our life. And, I will bless you all my life. In your name, I will lift up my hands in prayer to you, O Lord. My soul shall be filled as with a banquet. And with joyful lips, my mouth shall praise you. I praise the Lord with joy in my heart. Love that. When I remember you upon my bed, I muse on you through the watches of the night. So it talks about the watch of night. Sometimes you see in the Bible, the third watch, the fifth, the sixth watch. These were particular hours that marked time during the night. And again, we see the monks, especially the Cistercians, Trappists, or even the Carthusians that follow the rule of St. Bruno. If you see that beautiful movie, Into Great Silence, beautiful, they literally get up in the middle of the night. That's when their day starts. For you have been my strength. In the shadow of your wings, I rejoice. Right? So even in God's shadow, we rejoice because we're under his loving protection. My soul clings fast to you. Your right hand holds me up. I love that. My soul clings fast to you. My soul is united. Like when we receive our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, Eucharist, we become one with him. And we sustain that relationship before him in the Blessed Sacrament of the Eucharist. Now, here are the imprecatory verses. Those who seek to destroy my life shall go down to the depths of the earth. Now, remember, David's being pursued and trying to be killed by Saul. So he's rejoicing in the Lord. He's honoring the Lord. He's praying here about his deep, intimate connection to the Lord. But now he turns his attention back to the situation at hand, his being pursued. And he says, those who seek to destroy my life shall go down to the depths of the earth. You know, it kind of reminds me of when Korah rebelled against Moses and Aaron. in Numbers chapter 16. It says, the ground opened, and Korah and his family went down alive to Sheol. So, you know, so David is saying, Lord, protect me here. Put to the power of the sword, they shall be left as the prey for the jackals, right? To the power of the sword. So when they're defeated, they become prey for the wild beasts. But the king shall rejoice in God. All that swear by him shall exult, for the mouth of liars shall be silenced. Now that doesn't sound too bad to me as far as a cursing psalm. I think they should have left that in. But the king shall rejoice in God. So David, right, he's the king now, right? And he's the one that's going to rejoice in God. All that swear by him, by the Lord, shall exult, for the mouth of liars shall be silenced. So we should take heed and note of the fact that those who speak evil against us, those who speak against the beauty and truth of the reality of a culture of life, for example, that they will be silenced. You know, it's, maybe not now, maybe not in this lifetime, but definitely when the Lord comes back to reclaim his kingdom for the Father.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.